Hey, everyone. Real quick, I want to introduce our guest today on the podcast. His name is Nicholas Barely. He's the CEO of the Billion Dollar Body and creator of the Billion Dollar Brotherhood. He's the host of the BDB podcast, an international speaker and author of The Modern Day Businessman. So it was really fun interviewing him. I'm really excited about this. So I'll kick it to the intro and then we'll jump right into the interview. We live in pretty crazy times, and I'm not talking about a virus. I'm talking about a modern global economy that is shifting all around us, an expanding government that is printing money, and unemployment numbers that have not been seen in modern history. But what does this mean for us? I see it as an opportunity, a calling to solve the problems around us. It is my philosophy that in life, we always have a choice. You can stay down or get back up. But when you choose to get back up, you're choosing the path less traveled. The path where failure and growth are required and progression is the only outcome. Look, I'm no expert and I'm definitely not your guru. But join me as I learn what it takes to be a change maker, a leader, a visionary, an entrepreneur. My name is Ryan Peterson and welcome to Entrepreneurial Secrets. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Entrepreneurial Secrets. I am super excited today to have Nicholas Barely, correct? Am I saying that right?
Perfect, man. You nailed it.
Great. Yeah. I've been following your journey for not super long. I probably 6 months ago, I really started to hear about you and see what you're doing in the space, got into your Facebook group, and really have loved being there so far. So this is truly an honor, man, to have you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's Billion Dollar Brotherhood Facebook group for the people that are wondering. And I'm really particular. As you've seen, the group could be bigger. We usually delete 350 people for every 150 people that we actually accept into the group. So we make sure that we keep it high quality. And so because that's fun conversation, no shares, no BS, and nothing that can be found anywhere else on the internet is what's posted inside the group. And it allows me to be super personal as well, since I do run a company that's helping these businessmen have success without sacrificing their personal life. Things that they can say in that group that can't be publicized, like in front of your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunts, your uncles. And same for me as well. I can share those stories to help other people get freedom and also build the business on the backbone of it, because that's what I get most quoted for and probably what you heard at the beginning, because that's what millions have heard, is you're turning your mess into your message. And usually you have a problem in life, and Russell just wrote this in Traffic Secrets and gave me the quote on it, was you have a problem in life, you solve it, and in the process of solving it, you build some type of system that can help other people, whether it's a product, a service. And then it's like, once you have that, that's the message that you put out to the world. Then it's time to market it. It's time to get eyeballs on it. It lands for people, and then you create a business. And that's what I was able to do. And I'm excited to have other people have that transformation. Real quick, if people are listening, my life transformed for the negative in one moment and the positive in one moment. If it can happen for the negative, it can happen for the positive. And that's what I'm looking to create today. But the only way we can do that is with participation. So be committed, be expecting here today, and I'm excited to serve you. If it's not good, message me and say that I'm an asshole. And if it's good, then trust me and say thank you. But either way, be fully committed. I'm excited to serve.
Seriously, you give some of the greatest advice. That is really, really great. I do want to talk just briefly about your backstory, so that some of these listeners can understand, you know, where you kind of came from, because I think you have a very unique story. I mean, I guess you could say it's the general entrepreneur story, but it's so unique. Like, I love how carpet cleaner, am I right?
Yep. That's a piece of it for sure. Like,
yeah.
And I appreciate you segueing that. Thanks, dude. So for every single person has a unique story. And that's what everyone listening, no matter what my story is, it won't relate to certain people, or it won't relate in a way that yours will, or in a certain area. Like, you grew up in a perfect family, that'll relate. There's issues that comes with growing up in a perfect family. Grew up in a broken family, it relates to other people. 4 years old, my parents split up. 7 years old, wrote my first suicide letter. 13 years old, I gave up on my only mission in life, which was to be a professional athlete. And my dad owned a carpet cleaning company, but being a business owner was not like the cool thing. My dad was like, you're going to go to college, get a good job. That was totally not what I was going to do. I want to be a professional athlete. It was either that or nothing else. So for the people that are zero to hero, like, it's either this or nothing. That's exactly how I was. I was like all in on things, no matter what I was choosing. And I remember one day going to my dad and saying, Dad, I want to be the best motocross racer in the world. And he looked at me and he just was like, you'll never be the best. And it broke me. It was like the approval that I wanted was from my dad. And again, my uncle building a business at that time. He had an 8-figure clothing brand with five different stores that ended up going bankrupt and shutting down in 2008. And my dad had a carpet cleaning brick and mortar company. And one of the things that he taught me in that process was that people exchange money for value. And value is just solving problems or bigger problems for people or more people. That's how you create value. So I started a lawn mowing business 12 years old, and I lined my pockets with like $3,000 in cash that I had just in my drawer, just from going out there and doing what my dad said, it was creating that landscaping company. So throughout that process, then I ended up gaining 60 pounds after I had that falling out with my father, which was like my first failure. I talk about the three-dimensional businessman. That's health, wealth, and relationships. The only reason I do that is not because I wanted to be like, oh, particular and try to own this niche. I was just like, as a man, what are the things that I need to do? And again, this works for women as well. It's just, I don't want to act like I know what women go through. I know what men go through. What are the things in my life that I can't get away from? Like, I always want to know, to be successful in a business, what do I need to be good at? Not like all the things, just like, what do I definitely need? Like, I need an LLC. I need to have marketing. I need to have sales. Like, tell me the things I need. So as a man, it's like, well, no one's going to eat for me. No one's going to drink for me. No one's going to run for me. They could give me a plan, but I still need to do it. So I should probably get good at that. Rather than, I'm not good at that stuff. No, it's our responsibility. Well, no one's going to sleep with my wife for me. So I should probably like figure out how to do relationships correctly. Right? Like, it's just not going to happen. And then business, no one's going to cast the vision. No one's going to be the leader for me. So I should probably get good at it. And so throughout this process, I lost the 60 pounds, ended up getting married, no income. Crazy. Like, my dad's like, go work at Starbucks, go do something. But again, I was particular. I didn't want to just go work one for no reason. Like, I wanted to follow my passion and my dream. I just didn't know what that was. Caused so much drama in my house. I was like, my way or the highway. I had these like scruples where I was like, I will not go out there and just make coffee at a coffee shop. If anything, I'm going to start my own coffee business. So I get married, completely broke with no income. And I decided I'm going to go start a coffee shop. So I started selling coffees at garage sales, literally going negative every single month, losing money. But I was doing it my way. That was like the big thing that I wanted to do. And after years of failing in business, we got into a network marketing business that ended up going under. And that's where we became great friends with Brandon and Kaylin Poulin that now run Lady Boss. So everything happens for a reason and the connections are there. I caught myself, dude, having to go work for my dad as a carpet cleaner. I was making $1,200 to $1,500 a month. Thinking that I could just save my way to success. I had tried to go to the events before. I had read the books before and it had failed me and left me in a place where I felt like it was something that I could never recover from. And I was sitting there cleaning carpets every single day, just thinking like the decisions that I was making every day were shaping my life. Like, I would go to these events, networking events, and if you had to pay for parking, I would leave. I remember going to an event that was free, that was a big event like FHL. And it was $30 for parking. So I dropped my wife off at the curb and I sat there on the side of the road until she got done at the event. Because I thought if I pay the $30, they're winning and I'm losing. I didn't think that the information, the connections in the room were worth the investment. Mm-hmm. So one day I'm like, where's this thinking getting me? Like, I'm never going to get to the life that I want. I'm sitting there one day on my carpet cleaning van. My wife says, hey, I'm going to go to this live event in Vegas. And I couldn't go at the time. My dad had gotten in a motorcycle accident. I had to take care of the business, run the business, make sure the jobs were getting done. She goes to this event. She calls me and she goes, honey, like, there's this $5,000 thing. Like, I totally need it. I want to do this thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, could you imagine? I'm making like no money. I mean, my W-2 is $19,000, $21,000, 2 years in a row. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I already know I fail if I say no to her because like I'm not supporting her. Like, why would she ever want to hurt our family by making an investment in ourselves? So I said, do it. Like, let's increase her credit limit and just charge it on the credit card. We'll figure it out. So we did that. And I asked many people, like, was that a good decision or a bad decision? And everyone goes, look, it's amazing. You spoke at FHL in front of 4,500 people. You get to connect to people like Russell Brunson, Grant Cardone, and do all these things. And, you know, whatever the things are that they put in that place. And the thing is, for everyone listening, like, that was a terrible decision. If you go back in time, I had no money to pay it off and went on debt. There was no guarantee of success. Six months later, I had made zero progress. All my friends were telling me to blame it on the company and refund. and I decided not to. And I ended up going to the one event that they had that was basically the end of this whole program. No progress, no nothing. I went to the event. I didn't refund. I made a good decision. I went there and I found people that believed in me, people that believed in my vision, people that were further along than me that could speak into my business. I left there. We did $20,000 the next month. And that was the last month that I cleaned carpets. And we've been profitable every single month inside of our online business since that beginning of 2016. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of the backstory, the context. And some of the things that we'll probably go over here is that for 3 years, I made less than $3,000 in a single month, every single month for 3 years inside of my online business. I had lost the 60 pounds. And I decided I should probably help other people lose weight. It's the one thing that I've actually done. But I didn't know how to tell my story. I didn't know how to market the message. I didn't want to tell my backstory because I didn't lose weight with my program. So if I tell people, like, look at how I lost weight, isn't that lying? Mm-hmm. I thought that my transformation wasn't good enough. There were so many things that were blocking me. And what's so interesting is now listening to things that you probably teach is like, well, the reason you made your program is because you followed other people's that sucked and it was really hard. And then you found the program that can work for them to help them sustain it. So over that process, I was able to go out there and create one of the highest ticket health services on the market at the time, being 150 pounds, 5'7". I was able to create one of the highest ticket health programs, no certifications, did 600 clients, and then and they were created what we call now the Brotherhood, which is a movement that last year reached a few million men all over the world.
Wow. That's incredible. So I know you started, billiondollarbody.com, correct? And yep. So that was good, really going to be my next question is why Billion Dollar Body? But, you know, having lost that weight, then I guess my follow-up question would be, how do you, like, what advice would you give people who are saying, I could probably start something like that? Like, there's one thing that I know how to do pretty well, and a lot of trial and error, and it's the one thing I could probably teach, but I'm scared, like just absolutely frightened. What advice would you give them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it's loaded as well. Because at the time, the reason why I started Billion Dollar Body was because of my personal experience. I had a transformation that if I did not lose the weight, I would not be on this podcast. I would have self-sabotaged. I would have been so embarrassed. I would have never met my wife. It was a starting point. And really, at the end of the day, if you don't invest in you, why should anyone else? If you don't value you, why should anyone else? Why are we expecting other people to give us opportunities when we don't even value ourselves? And so I went through that personal transformation myself. I didn't know that there was other ways to run a business, like what you're doing right now, bringing in experts, like Napoleon Hill did with Think and Grow Rich. He took people that had already done it, brought them in to teach on the subject, and because they were associated, they had the same stature. Everyone's like, oh, Napoleon Hill's amazing. I don't know, was he? Like, he was around really amazing people and compiled all their stuff, but they were the ones doing all the work, just like I'm doing the work right now. You don't have to know anything right now. You've done some great things, but you don't need to. And I didn't know that at the time. So that was the first model I went into, which Russell would call the guru model, right? Like someone who had been from A to B, I had lost the weight, so I'm going to help other people lose the weight as well. So inside of your life right now, you could think of what are the things that I've overcome that are valuable to other people? And how can I help them overcome that same exact thing? The other way to look at it is, what are the things that I'm working on or the things that are valuable to other people that I really enjoy as well, and who is really great at doing that? Yeah. And I think that those sometimes are businesses that are actually even easier to start. One of the things that people most people don't know about me is I started a flooring company on the side of my dad's carpet cleaning company because I was constantly going into houses that needed new flooring and new carpet, but we didn't do it. So I was like, well, how easy is this? Like, to get the lead right there, they're super hot, high profit, and I could just redo the floors.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh man, that's a great idea. Like, did you get your flooring license and your general contractor's license? And like, how long did it take you to learn how to like lay the carpet and lay the flooring? I was like, no, like I've never even touched a like carpet jack thing or whatever the heck it's called. Like, I understand the industry. Yeah. I understand carpet because I had been around it for so long. So I've never put in carpet inside of an actual place. I never put the pad down. I've never hauled it to the dump. Like, I have no clue what that is. I understood it enough. I was inside the industry. So I'm not talking about going to an industry that you've never done anything in before, but I am saying that sometimes we get stuck as the technician. One book is called The E-Myth. It's one of the only ones you can quote because you can't really use Robert Kiyosaki stuff, which has the four quadrants. But you have technician, you have the manager, and you have the entrepreneur. And many times we think that a technician is an entrepreneur. Me, I'm a coach and you coach people. Yeah, you're a technician. You're self-employed. Like, you've worked yourself into a job. And I got caught in that as well. So I own multiple businesses now, one of them being B2B, where I am very much involved. And I am a lot of times a technician inside of that company. And I'm able to impact a lot of people through that. Yet our podcast post-production service company, our YouTube SEO company, those are all things that we have highly trained people. I understand them. I understand how it works, but man, they're the ones that are really, really good at it. And sometimes it takes getting outside of the company to really work on the company from a different view to get a perspective to help it grow rather than being the person pushing the buttons, which, by the way, that's where I got stuck as a coach. When our business started blowing up, I was coaching for 35 hours per week, realizing that there was no way that I was going to be able to build my company if I was sitting there coaching all the time. Everyone else was thinking, what's the next thing we should do? What's our marketing strategy? How should we work on this system? And I was coaching, coaching. And so with each level of success, you learn something new. And the goal is always, as a student, which everyone here is, if you're listening, myself included, it's time to stand on the ceilings of giants. So I always think, like, my ceiling is your floor. The reason I do what I do is because I discovered a lot of things along the way that allows people to literally start where my ceiling's at, where I'm stuck. Yeah. They're starting rather than building their own skyscraper right next to it. And that's what success allows you to do. Success leaves clues. Learn from other people's mistakes, not just your own mistakes.
I love that. That is really good advice, because I think too often, you know, I speak to people who are just like, I just feel stuck. I really don't know what I'm trying to do here. I have an idea, but I can't get it forward. And I think sometimes we just need to sit there and take a step back. Like, who's done what I'm trying to do? What did they do? Like you said, success leaves clue. I think that Tony Robbins said that, who got it from Jim Rohn, and he probably got it from someone else.
Well, so let me say this real quick then. For some of the people that you're in a business and you're like, man, it's successful, but I don't really like it. And then maybe someone else who you're thinking about the businesses that you could go into, but you haven't really dived in. So this really will just affirm the people that are, and will take away shiny object syndrome from people that are all in building a big business already. Yeah. Some of the things to look at, like you said, first you learn how to play someone else's music before you learn how to write your own. So I have a guitar right here. I first had to learn the chords and the strumming patterns. And then I learned other people's music, because that's what you do to practice. After a while, you get to know the genre that you like. You get to know the chords that you like, the style that you like. And then you can write your own music. And many times you look at who has the life that I want. And how did they get there? Because sometimes we don't know what we want out of life, what we want to do. But I'm like, oh, I like his life. What did he do to get to that point? Yeah. And so one of the ways that I did that is I often ask people, what do they want? And most of the time, people don't really know what they want. Because if you were like me and you were in poverty for years, literally I had a $25 a week eating out budget for 2.5 years on the road, I only ate out 2 to 3 times, and it was Chipotle only when I got called into overtime. That's it. Never spent a dime out on the road. So when you're in poverty like that, you stop dreaming, because nothing's possible. I could never buy that car, or move into that house or that neighborhood. I never had the money for it. So I never really dreamed of what I did want, but I did have an idea of what I didn't want, because I had experienced a lot of what I didn't want. So when I got married to my wife, I was 20. She was 18. I had no money, no income. And I sat there and I'm like, all right, I'm married. I don't want to be away from my wife.
Yeah.
That's something I don't want. So what do I want? Spend time with my wife. All right. What is the possible ways I could do that with this responsibility, being a husband, to provide? And by the way, the where we find our actual destiny is where our passions and our responsibilities overlap. Different conversation. But it's not just taking care of your responsibilities. I did that. I cleaned carpet and I just made it safe for my family to get by. Barely getting by. But we could have lived like that forever. But I was not, I didn't have any of my passion involved with it. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, what are all the ways I could do this? I'm like, start a business. Perfect. What business do I start? Well, what do I like to do? Well, I'll write down all these things I like. What am I good at? What type of life do I want to have? What type of impact do I want to create? What are the ways I can get there? And go deep on this, right? It's like, if you want to connect families together because you're so passionate about families, well, that could be family coaching, family therapy, or it could be a restaurant. Like restaurants get families together. So get creative in your thinking. And when you go through all these things, what do I like to do? What do I want to do? What type of life do I want? What don't I want? What do I want? And you really go through this, it really spits out just a few answers.
Yeah.
And what's nice about that is that you don't get shiny object syndrome. One of the things, the reason why BDB has been successful has strictly been from our consistency in speaking the message and not consistently changing. So many times people are like, oh man, they have an e-com business and they do like $100 million a year. So like, I want to be in e-com. Oh wow, like I wasn't successful with e-com, but like I could run ads for e-com people.
Yeah.
And like, it's nice to pull on those strings, but if you would just eliminate, like if you know that those aren't going to get you the life that you want, then stop doing them. Mm-hmm. So often we just jump from one thing to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I'm not saying don't take action. What I am saying is have clarity at least on where you're going so you don't create success, which creates failure. Meaning that if you actually become successful, you hate your life. See, this happens so often. I go, dude, if you actually have success in your business, you're going to hate your life. So you self-sabotage so you don't get clients, because if you did have clients, it would suck. And your subconscious mind knows this, but your conscious mind doesn't. So getting clarity is a really, really big step of success, because then when you choose your industry, you're committed. And if other people have been successful in your industry, chances are if you do the right things enough times, you're going to be successful as well. But I guarantee if you quit, then you lose. And if you lose, then you're a loser. That's what I guarantee. So stop quitting. So that you don't lose. And if you don't lose, then you're not going to become a loser.
That's good math. I like that. I like that. How's the saying go as well? There's a, you never truly fail until you quit trying or something like that.
Totally. And another one that my friend used to say that was hilarious was he used to go up to me and he used to go, Nicholas, like, you remember that guy that quit? And I'm like, no. And he's like, me neither. Because no one remembers a quitter.
I love it. That is really good.
You know, you never remember that guy. I'm like, who's that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So, Nick, I'd love to talk a little bit, to shift just slightly here and talk about your book, The Modern Day Businessman. And when I joined your Facebook group, Billion Dollar Brotherhood, you know, 6 months ago or whatnot, I remember one of the first things I did was download that book. And I remember reading through it, and you have some amazing things that you talk about in there that really, I think, help a lot of men today. That a lot of people don't really want to talk about. There's some uneasy topics and whatnot about, you know, really doing what's right. And I would love to understand where your inspiration for this book came from exactly, and why modern day businessmen, you know?
Totally, dude. So one of the things, if there's a guy listening to the show, they can actually go to the Billion Dollar Brotherhood Facebook group. And if they just watch these 5 videos, I pay for shipping and ship the book out for free. If they're really excited and you just want to go to Amazon or moderndaybusinessman.com, go ahead and buy it, save yourself time and get there in just a few days. So one of the big inspirations, man, was around like, what are the things that create success for me? Like I was 60 pounds overweight, failing in the 3 core areas that we teach. I didn't have a girlfriend for 7 years. I couldn't create any type of financial success or any impact with what I was doing. I was literally not gifted at any of the things that I talk about. I had to learn them. I had to get mentored by the people that actually taught me how to do it. So after hundreds of thousands of dollars of investments, tons of failures that then created success, I then compiled the things that I learned from all these mentors. Like one of my Navy SEAL mentors, Yost Janssen, been my mentor for 10 years, Navy SEAL instructor, taught Tom Cruise how to shoot a gun, and has worked on 13 Hours, American Assassin, Iron Man. He's Joe Rogan's bodyguard and also runs a security team. Like phenomenal guy, along with Russell Brunson's and along with Cole Hatter's and along with Grant Cardone's and all these people that I've invested time with, all these people that I've invested hours and hours or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars to learn from, to compile it into a simple formula where people go out there and become this 3-dimensional businessman. Again, it's a standard that's really hard to get to. Like prospering in health, wealth, and relationships, creating success without sacrifice is the only way you can be a businessman. I'm changing the dictionary definition, saying that you cannot be called a businessman, which is why I call it modern day businessman, with failing in these three areas. That from this example of what we're creating and the formula that we've created through this book and through our movement, that we'll be able to consult every major world leader on how they should run their country. Because I truly believe that you change one man, you change the house. Women already want to do this. They want to be three-dimensional. They want to be spiritual. They want to be emotional. They want to be fit in all these different areas, financially fit. Yet usually as men, we're the ones that are so one-track focused that we end up ruining everything on our pursuit to success.
Yeah.
Destroy our families, our health, and everything to try to get the money that we think we wanted, that we needed to be able to actually make our families happy and to be able to be fit. Because if we don't make, if we make money, then we can hire a trainer. Oh, if I just had enough money, then I could worry about my fitness. And we end up sacrificing everything, which actually enables us from getting the success. Because now we don't have the energy. We don't have the passion. We don't have the why. We don't have anything good to even talk about. What's the point of even working anymore? And so along that process, becoming three-dimensional is a standard that we live by. Rather than changing our standards to our current lifestyle, like, oh man, like things aren't that great, but I'm just going to change my expectation that I don't need to be that rich. I don't really need to impact that many people. I don't need to be that fit. My relationship's okay, but it's not great. And accepting that, no, we keep the standard there and we make our life adapt to the standard that we have for our life. And that's really what I broke down in the modern day business. And it came from all my failures, dude. It came from the things that I was going through that was a struggle for me. My biggest breakthroughs that I went through to be able to create success for myself. It compiled the things that I learned from my mentors and ridiculous stories that people will never hear anywhere else of the stupid things that I've done in faith, out of love, out of passion. And one of the quotes that you kind of touched on is, I'd rather do what I know is right and be willing to fail than do what I already know is wrong and succeed. You notice that through my life, I never made anyone happy doing what I was doing until I did it long enough that it transformed their life. Meaning that when I first wanted to lose weight, my family was upset because I wouldn't eat food with them. But I kept doing it until I lost the weight, kept it off, and now they've lost hundreds of pounds all collectively. Mm-hmm. I was influenced from that moment.
Yeah.
When I went into business, like my dad said, you should go to Starbucks. I'm like, I'm not going to do it that way. And now through my constant pursuit, it's been able to impact my family's business. Yeah. Because now through the things that I've learned, I've been able to integrate those things into their companies and transform their lives. And so when you're able to go out there and live this life where you're like, man, what I want out of life, I'm going to do that. Like I would rather make good decisions, even in a day-to-day decision. Just ask yourself, like, I'm going to do what's right, even if it makes me fail in front of everyone, rather than doing what I already know is wrong and succeeding. That might be taking that job, taking on that client, going into that business. Like, it's easy to do what's already wrong and succeed. That'd be like, you know, stealing a gold bar that's worth 100 grand and being like, well, I didn't really steal it. And you get 100 grand, you look cool in front of everyone, but you already know you did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So I've just lived my life, dude, of like, I'd rather do what I know is right and be willing to fail than do what I already know is wrong and succeed.
Yeah. I think that shows a lot of character that is built, I think, through a lot of trial. And I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the hardships you went through are what probably shaped you who you are today. And if it wasn't for those trials and those moments where you had to make the right decision, you know, you had to sit there and sit back and be like, who do I want to be? Do I want to steal the gold bar? You know, or do I want to sacrifice that in pursuit of what I know is right? And you had to make those decisions in those low moments when no one was watching in order to be where you're at today.
Dude, it's only the decisions you make when no one's watching and the things that you do when no one's watching that shape who you are.
Yeah.
The things you do when people are watching do not matter. They do not make who you are. Those are very, very small glimpses into our life. There's another quote that says, what you do in private will be shouted from the rooftops.
Yep. Yep.
Like, that's the name of the game. And as you said, I've gone through the hardships, but I look at them differently. You know, I got to speak at Funnel Hacking Live with Russell Brunson because of this fact that your message is your message. Right? I took all the failures that I had, and I took that and made it the message and the platform for my success. Mm. Legitimately. Like, everything that I struggled with was my marketing material.
Yeah.
I was overweight. I lost the weight, but I had many things. I thought, why share my story? So for the people listening, like, this is what's going to make separate you. I just had someone reach out to me the other day. He goes, Nicholas, I want to hire you. I want to work with you. I go, what do you do? He goes, oh, I do digital advertising for e-commerce. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, another one. Like, sounds great. And, you know, I'm like, whatever. Like, all right, great. I'm going to talk to this digital advertiser for e-commerce. I'm like, why should I listen to you type thing? And so then he starts telling me of his story. Started saying, I started this e-com product and I started marketing it. I sold tons of it, but then it got shut down. And then I got this other product and I didn't tell my merchant account that it was a supplement. So I sold a ton of it. And then they found out and they charged me all this money and I lost all my money and lost everything. And then he was like, you know what? I'm really good at this marketing thing for these e-commerce products. I'm just not great at sourcing the product. So I started partnering with companies where I then could take their product and blow it up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I know how to tell your story. I know how to refer you. I understand. I feel connected to the story. I know more about it. And I understand why you do what you do. And that's a very condensed, short version of it. You can make that as long as possible. You can break it down into smaller chunks. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things that I didn't believe, I go into business. I'd lost the 60 pounds. I'm shredded. And everyone tells you your body's your billboard. This is the equivalent of like, just flash your cash or show how hot your wife is or whatever niche you're in. Show your abs. Like, that's your body's your billboard. And that's what everyone's doing, right? There's reasons why people will connect to you. It's one of two. Either they want to be like you or they feel like they're just like you.
Yeah.
So most people are doing the want to be like you. They're driving their Rolls Royce that they either rent or bought, and it's not that impressive anyway. All you have to do to rent a Rolls Royce here or to own a Rolls Royce in California is just live in someone else's bedroom and rent from them, because you just put that money towards a car. It's not that impressive, right? You could have a $40,000 watch on your wrist, but what's $40,000? But like, people are like, oh man, it's a sign of success. And I don't mind it. Like, believe me, I like those things. I'm just saying that they're not that hard to get, but it makes people think, oh, I want to be like that. But what about what they're just like? Mm-hmm. So at first I got in this business and I was like, man, I've lost the weight, but what's the point of telling my story? If people know that I was overweight, they'll see that I was screwed up. Why would they want to buy from someone that used to suck at this? Which for people listening, you may think that's really dumb. But that was my mindset. I was like, why should I even share my story? And I didn't know that it was like the unique thing that would get people to connect with me over other people in the health and fitness industry at the time. Yeah. Because how can you compete with 3 times Mr. Olympia that's shredded if your body's your billboard? They have 3.4 million followers. Their product is cheap as crap because they don't have any real deliverable. Like, they just have an info product. Yeah. So they can sell things for nothing. That's amazing. And I started noticing that after I told my story the very first time, I went to my very first event that I ever got to speak at, 40 people. I told people I was overweight. And I told people how I got overweight, and there was not a dry eye in the room. I was even crying my eyes out. Never told anyone before. So it was super emotional. And I left there and I made $27,000 in sales, and I didn't even make a pitch. People just came up to me, said they wanted to talk to me. I got on the phone with them afterwards and they all just wanted to buy. 9 out of 10 of them bought. And the only one that didn't buy was the one that said, I need to be your client. I'm going to buy from you. And they're the only ones that didn't buy. It was the weirdest thing. So anyway, that's what launched my business. And I'm like, wow. Like, my story matters. And I started looking at my problems differently, like you just talked about. It's like, dude, if you were in, let's say you wanted to discover water, you're in the middle of the desert, you have no water. You have two choices: find a spring or dig a well. That's it. Mm-hmm. And when you figure that out though, like, that's an issue. So think about every issue in your life. Your marketing's an issue, your sales technique's an issue, you're terrible on camera, which I was allergic to the camera. Couldn't even breathe on it. I like literally thought I was having an allergic reaction. Took me 8 hours to do my first 5-minute video. And so I remember like seeing those as issues and insecurities that I was afraid of. I didn't realize that if I could overcome that, I can now relate to everyone that also struggles with it and show them the path. So if I find a spring or dig a well, I'm like, oh my gosh, now I could show other people how to dig a well. Now I could show other people and lead them to the spring and help them solve their problems, which again is creating value. And money follows value. And value is solving more problems for more people. And then the last thing was the personal freedom, dude. You know how scary it was, like, to tell people I was overweight, to tell people I had struggles, to tell people I wasn't good on camera, to tell people all these issues that I had in my life, falling outs with my father and insecurities of why I wore a sweatshirt every single day. You know, the list goes on. I was so afraid which caused me to never put myself out there, because what if people truly found out who I was? And I remember watching 8 Mile, dude, and Eminem inspired me because he was just like that, super afraid, nervous. Like he has this whole thing like vomit on my sweater already, mom, spaghetti. Because he was nervous, he would choke, all these things. Yeah. Finally, one day he goes, F it, dude. I'm just going to tell everyone every problem that's ever happened in my life, how I'm screwed up, because I don't care what people think about me anymore. And he does that, and the exact opposite happens. We think we're going to be rejected. It actually was the reason why people connected with him, the same way that the e-com guy told me that he had all these crappy products that got shut down. Mm-hmm. But inside of it, I understood him. I connected with him and I saw his expertise. And the best thing about it is it takes away all people's ammunition against you. Because like what you think they could say about you, oh, you were fat. Like, okay, I already said that. I know I was fat. I told everyone in the world that. So what else? Mm-hmm. Like all the ammunition that people could call out about you. Oh, your eyebrows are crappy. You're bald. Your hair is gray. Like whatever people's insecurities are, I started speaking them. And I started telling the stories about them. People started reaching out. And that was the foundation of my business. Look, think of it like a lead magnet. Like I have tons of lead magnets. One of them is a new year goal setting guide. So people are like, oh, I want a goal set for the new year. So they download the guide. And it'll attract only people that want the goal set. Well, I found that every story you tell strategically is going to relate to someone in a certain way that where they want to get more connected, like a lead magnet. So when I say me and my dad had a falling out and it caused me to gain weight, people are like, oh my gosh, like me and my dad had a falling out. Like, oh, I'd never thought about that, but exactly what he went through, I connect with that. Now I want to connect with him and what he's doing. And so never underestimate the power of the story, and also never underestimate how perfection will totally screw up your business. People want to connect with other people that are just like them, that understand what they're going through, not someone that's perfect and has no clue what it's like to struggle.
Yeah. That is like really good advice for, I think, anyone listening, but especially those who are struggling with those insecurities, because I know like in my own life, I've struggled with them plenty of times and I've had plenty of failures and I'm not done. But I don't think anyone ever is. It's just you get a little better each time. You know, you get a little stronger after you climb that mountain. You're like, okay, I can climb the next one. You know, just like breaking down a muscle. So that's really, really good advice. Appreciate it. And I appreciate you being so vulnerable, you know, on this podcast, because I know that can still be tough. Even if you've shared your message 100 times, it's, you know, maybe a new audience, you know, you want to, so I appreciate it. Thank you. I got two last questions for you here. And, the first one is, I know you recently had, a little boy, and I want to ask how your perspective might have changed in your business since having a little boy.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I'm still learning a ton. My son just hit 7 months and he's phenomenal to look at, learn from it, and also realize this is like COVID, lockdown, mass, BLM, all these like things that people could stayed off of, and the million other things that have happened. One of which that I've been seeing is like this whole child sex trafficking stuff, which is absolutely terrible. We've been partnering with solutions to help with this stuff. And all these fires have been going on, which has caused people to really be able to connect back with family, which has also caused divorce rates to go up. Because people have to be together finally. So one of the big things that hit me was really just going back again to, what do I want out of life? Because without my son, like, yeah, I want to just keep working, work all the time. But there's certain things. There's different types of moments, and some of them can wait. Like this podcast, we really could do it tomorrow, right? And we'd still get it done. But or even 6 months from now, if we wanted to, we'd still be able to do the podcast. But if you miss your son's first month of life, you never ever get it back ever again. It's gone forever. And so the urgency and the importance of what the way I structure my life, it's been challenged again of health, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. That's number one. If I'm not powerful, I'm not going to be able to show up here powerful or anything, my family. The next is my relationship with my significant other and family. And another person has risen above business. Not every relationship I have is more important than my business. But my relationship with my son and I is a new relationship that's now higher to the business. And when push comes to shove, he's more important than the work that I do. Because the work is just an extension of who I am. But if I put that above him, like, it would just absolutely crush me. So it's allowed me to think, what type of life do I want to create going forward, and what really, really matters to me? And because of that, I've been able to really enjoy the process that I've been going on, because I've been able to live the life that I want. So that's been really big for me, man. It's really getting clear again on, man, do I really want to travel all these days, or do I want to travel less to spend time with him? Because that success is more important to me than the success in these other areas that I did love. But yeah, things change. And when things change, it's time for us to change and adapt. Many people have been quoting this, that it's not the strong that survive. It's the ones, it's the animals and the creatures that are willing to adapt that survive.
That is good. That is really good. The adaptation that you can bring into your life there. Really great insight. My last question is, I asked this to my speakers or to my guests on the show here, but where do you think the next entrepreneurial endeavor is? It's more of a fun question. I'd like to know your opinion on that.
So this is like the new opportunities that are coming out inside of the world. And
In the world, like where's the next big play, you think?
Yeah, I think that I'm going to just go a different answer, because you asked this question, as you said, and I'm sure people have phenomenal answers. Yet I've never been that great at anything that I've done. There's a lot of people that are great speakers. There's a lot of people that are great tech people. They have a great personality. They're very structured, and they have all these like skills, talents, and abilities. I've never been that person. Like when I played golf for the very first time, I got my ass kicked by everyone. And I remember, for a whole year, like this, no joke, for a year and maybe like 5 months, I hit 200 golf balls every day.
Wow.
To get just a little bit better than them. And still to this day, I'm a little bit better than them, but they didn't do that. And so like I had to work really, really hard, and I may be better than people at certain things, but it's not because I was gifted at it. It's because I put in an immense amount of reps. Yeah. And so What I think right now is that when I look at the original mastermind, you had people like Henry Ford, who started Ford Motors. You had people like Herbert Hoover, that became the president of the United States. Those are really big things. Like you had an inventor that invented the light bulb and all this other stuff. That is not me. Or else like I'd already be this huge person. I was like the Harvey Firestone. Harvey Firestone created Firestone tires.
Yeah.
Like he saw, oh man, like all these guys are amazing, but like this guy has cars and the cars have tires that are rubber that wear out and people consistently need to buy them. So what's a way that I can serve those people in a different way or in a better way than other people are doing it right now? And I think for the majority of the people that are listening right now, yeah, it's time to make sure that we're pivoting with the times, that you're not stuck using a fax machine in today's day and age, and doing that consistently instead of our business with innovation. What's the way that we're communicating with the client? What's the way that we're solving the problems? If you're a printing company, like it may not be the best thing to stay that way. Like there's a movie called Why Him? And at the very end, this printing company that's going downhill ends up making Japanese toilets instead because they have the ability to do that. They made the pivot in the time that was necessary because they were no longer relevant. I think it's always time to do that. But right now, there's marketplaces out there, market caps of where people are buying. Coaching, there's a certain amount of billions of dollars that are spent on coaching every single year. And so what's the way to get a piece of that? Not to convince people that they should get coaching, but it's to take a little corner of the market that are already paying for it, that want it done a different way. They're discontent. The message isn't hitting them the right way. Your message can hit them differently, and you can serve them differently or better than other people out there. So right now, the future business stuff right now is for people to stop thinking that they have to create something brand new and realize that their message and the way that they do it is different, unique, or they serve people different. Meaning like in fitness, my message might be able to reach people that would never listen to other fitness people. Yeah. So already I'm reaching new people. Or my deliverable might be a little bit different so that it's reaching people and serving them in a different way. And if you're not at least doing that, you should be promoting someone else's product. Because if their product's better and they serve the people that you're serving, well, then you should probably promote their product. But if your product's different, unique, or can serve someone different that they can't reach, that right there is the huge place where you're going to make profit. And that would be the number one thing that I would do. Like I own a podcast post-production service. So basically people film the video, they put it into Google Drive. We spit out all their deliverables from their social media content, images, edited video for all social media platforms, thumbnail for YouTube, YouTube SEO, et cetera. Or we just do the audio. That's not a groundbreaking business. Yet it's a need. And my story and what we've been able to do is very unique. I tell my story of how I started the podcast. I've had success in the area. And so because of that, we created a business around it. People make it so difficult to create a profitable business.
Yeah.
But there's problems that we all go through every single day. For me, it sucked doing the podcast because my wife hated editing our podcast. And then we never had any promotional material. So we do all these podcasts and we never promote it. Yeah. And then even when we edited it, we were upset. So we didn't even want to do the podcast, but we knew we should do it. And I'm like, man, like maybe I should take my team that I invest all this money into now, and I should allow people to basically rent them. And then it worked.
Yeah.
And so I make money from it. I don't know. That's just what I think.
I love it. That's really good advice. You know, instead of finding that next new thing, find what you do and just tweak it. Find your niche.
Take old things and do it a new way. Like that's,
I love it. That's a good way to put it.
That'd probably be a good way to do it. Cause like, you know, make it seem like no one else does podcast editing services or something. There's tons of people out there, but it's like, you know, we do it differently.
I love it. That was really great. Nicholas, seriously, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, wasn't that great? Thank you so much for listening. I hope you got something of value out of today's episode. I recently reached out to a number of marketing and sales experts to see what they were doing to be in the top 1% of entrepreneurs. Now, a lot of them got back to me and I was able to interview them and ask them what secrets and strategies they were using in their business. A lot of these entrepreneurs are doing 7 figures a year and really know their stuff. The responses I received were astonishing. In fact, they were so mind-blowing that I decided to turn my video interviews with them into a free virtual summit. If you want to watch the summit for free and learn what strategies the top 1% of entrepreneurs are using to market and sell their products, then head over to 1%summit.com. Again, that is 1%summit.com to get your free ticket to the virtual summit.